Yo, what's up? Shadano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We got a lot of guests for you today. Jay Williams, Keyshawn's new co-host, beginning August 17th, will join us at 10:30. Max Kellerman will return to ESPN Los Angeles on August 17th at 11 a.m., his new daily show. He will join us today at 11 a.m., so it'll be perfect. So you just kind of get used to Max at 11 a.m., and that's how this thing will work. So we'll have Max at 11. Boog Shambi, my boy, is going to stop by at 11:30 to talk MLB with us, particularly the Dodgers and Walker Buehler. I want to get into Walker Buehler a little later because I'm starting to wonder. But yesterday, during What You Need to Know, Greg Bergman, I said that if there was a remedy for Anthony Davis, it was going to be the Utah Jazz. In two games this season, he shot 57% against the Utah Jazz. And yesterday, he even performed in the fourth quarter, 8 points in the fourth quarter, which is equal to his total in four games against the Los Angeles Clippers. And I got to see something from him in the fourth quarter after the questions, which were valid, have come about his productivity in that last quarter. And I know that you in Ireland, people like to use the analogy that, well, he only plays the last 6 or 7 minutes. Well, 6 or 7 minutes is not like nothing. It is a decent chunk of the game. But he did perform yesterday. He actually might have, you know, the game felt out of reach until he kind of put it away with a three. And that was the type of performance I was at least looking forward to from Anthony Davis yesterday.
Yeah, he was very good. He was very aggressive yesterday throughout the entire game. I mean, he heard you, Sedano. I don't know what to tell you. When he came out yesterday and was aggressive from beginning to end. And in his time in the fourth quarter, he was pushing. He put up 7 shots in the fourth quarter. That's as many shots as he took against
all game
against
Toronto.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's aggressive, and that's the guy that you need. Is he that aggressive? Because he gets to the foul line when that happens. When he's that like that, and he's a great free throw shooter too.
Right, he is an excellent free throw shooter. He's an excellent free throw shooter. Period. Not just for like a big man. Laura, we have some LeBron sound specifically about Anthony Davis. Let me hear what LeBron had to say about Anthony Davis yesterday.
Yeah, it was very aggressive from the beginning. Even though he was missing some of his looks early on, he was looking for a shot to start the game. You know, just getting to a rhythm. And he was just, like I say, he was being aggressive throughout the whole game. And when you're a great player, you learn from one game, you adjust, and then you turn into something different the next game. He absolutely did that tonight.
Yeah, he did learn, clearly. And that's all you ask is he has to learn. People forget, you know, he hasn't been on these stages before. It's kind of some of the issues we were referring to yesterday and Friday, is that he hadn't been on this stage in the past. And I think that this is all new territory for him. So I'm willing to give him some wiggle room on this, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm going to back off from my statements of he's the most important key to them winning a championship. And by the way, LeBron knows that too. And by the way, LeBron knows that because he knows how to cover all his bases like Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same network as the big carriers for up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So the reason LeBron knows that is because he understands what it was like last year to not play with another star. And now he's got another top five superstar with him. And maybe he is someone, Greg, that needs to grow in certain aspects. I mean, his game is certainly well refined. I don't think that's the issue. But I think that experience is an area where maybe he lacks. And because of that, I think that his aggressiveness is sometimes put into question, because it was probably put into question, to be honest, when you think about it, at times, even in New Orleans. Except there, he had to be the number one option. But even there, they still questioned it at times, despite being the number one option. So as the number two option, he came out of the gate strong here in L.A., talking about wanting to hold LeBron accountable on defense. But LeBron knows he needs AD, and he knows he's got to treat him differently than maybe the teammates he treated, or the way he treated his teammates in Cleveland. For example, Greg, in Cleveland, you know, he kind of rode Kevin Love and Kyrie, particularly early on. I mean, in general, almost pretty much throughout, He kind of softened a little bit on Kevin Love once Kyrie was gone. But he rode them pretty hard. And he rode them because when LeBron came back to Cleveland, remember, he was coming back the conquering hero. I won the championships. I went to Miami. I learned how to win. And I'm not saying that in like this mocking tone. I'm saying it because it was true. And Kyrie and Kevin Love had known nothing about winning. They hadn't even made the damn playoffs before. And AD, while he's not those guys because he's made the playoffs in the past, he certainly doesn't have the experience, right? Like when LeBron was with the Heat, Dwayne Wade had won a finals MVP without LeBron. And hell, he might have won a second if LeBron would have played to his averages in 2011. Chris Bosh had been to the playoffs before, maybe not deep into the playoffs, but had been into the playoffs. So LeBron treated them as peers because they were of similar age. And I feel like LeBron has kind of found Anthony Davis, like a middle ground with Anthony Davis, where he knows that he is his peer from a talent perspective, but maybe not from a maturity perspective. So he kind of treats him with respect, but also with kid gloves at the same time. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I kind of see what you're saying, but I mean, I feel like the type of relationship that I see from the outside, and you were around them when they were actually playing here in LA much more than I was, but it seems from afar like they're really good friends, and that to the fact that if Anthony Davis is not being aggressive, he can be like, look, man, you got to go out there. You got to really show what you got. You got to start pushing. You got to be aggressive. He can actually tell him because they have such a close bond. Do you not agree?
No, yeah, I think that there is a real relationship there. There's no question. There is a big brother, little brother thing. Laura, does that seem evident to you that there is this big brother, little brother thing?
Yeah, I think that it's kind of what you guys are talking about. And it seems like it's like, hey, if you're messing up, I'm going to tell you, but I'm also going to punk you in a nice, cool way where you get it. I that's how I see it. It's kind of like you said, a big brother, little brother relationship.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I think it's one of these things that LeBron has learned, right? At 35, you know, Shaq used to always say this. I remember him telling me this one time. And he was talking about when he was with the Lakers early on, and he was talking about how he would treat Eddie Jones and Nick Van Exel. And he talked about how with, like, Eddie Jones, he needed to pat him on the back, right? Because if he cursed Eddie out, that it wouldn't necessarily make him better, right? It would make him potentially worse. But with Nick Van Exel, he could curse him out, call him a mother bleeper, do whatever he wanted to do, and it would just make Nick more angry and play better, right? And I think LeBron, over the years, has learned, for the most part, how to deal with his teammates. And outside of Kyrie, and even Kyrie later admitted he at least now understood where LeBron was coming from, that, you know, he's had a pretty good relationship with his stars. It's not always easy to play with LeBron. I've referred to that over the 4 years that I've been here. It's not. And it's not a perfect situation, but you know, at least in the situation when you're with LeBron, that you're going to be in a position to contend. Outside of last year, obviously, outlier, he gets hurt. You know, the team isn't constructed around him. I mean, look, they still probably would have made the playoffs had he just been healthy the whole season. But either way, you're at least in a position in striking distance, at worst, to contend for a championship. And if he's got another star with him, we know they're going to contend for a championship. So you kind of have to take all of it with a grain of salt. And I think that LeBron, though, has also matured. And I think that's where this relationship is a little different than the previous relationships he's had with other stars. It is interesting, though, because the Lakers did clinch the number one seed for the first time in 10 years. And in clinching it for the first time in 10 years, you know, LeBron, I'm not going to say he took a victory lap because that's not what he does. That's not what it is at all. But he did reference, because he does like to remind people, hey, you guys doubted me. You doubted I couldn't do it in the West. You said all those years, oh, you had the East. And now I did it in the West and you said I couldn't do it and here I am. And the Lakers, I've brought the Lakers back from the doldrums in their worst stretch for a 6 or 7 year span. And it's the first time in 10 years that the Lakers have been there. And the last time, we all know, was the last time they won a championship, led by Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol. So LeBron, he's gotten the opportunity, Greg and Laura, and I'll start with you, Greg, to kind of check off some things off the list. One of them was to bring the Lakers back into contention. He's clearly done that. Yes? Check mark? Yes?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, Laura?
Yes.
Yes. The other thing was to make them the best team in the Western Conference. Check off that, right?
Yep. Check.
Yeah. So you check that off. The next thing is to win the West and represent the finals. That is the next step, is to get through the playoffs, win the West, get to the finals, and then win a championship. LeBron James, as the one seed, this is now the fifth time one of his teams have been the one seed. The first two times were his first stint in Cleveland. In 2008, 2009, they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals, 4-2, to the Orlando Magic. In the following season, 2009, 2010, in Cleveland, in his first stint, they lost to the Celtics. If you remember, that was the game that everyone thought, well, he's out of there. He ripped off his jersey or whatever on his way to the locker room. They lost in the Eastern Conference semifinals, 4-2, to the Celtics team that lost to the Lakers in their last championship back 10 years ago. Then the next time LeBron was the one seed was the 2012-2013 season, his third in Miami, and they had won their second championship there. They won that series 4-3 against the San Antonio Spurs in an epic battle. And then the last time before this time was the 2015-16 season, where they came back down 3-1 against the Warriors and won that series 4-3. So this is the fifth time. And again, look, LeBron has won a championship from the two position before. It doesn't mean that it has to be from the one. But in his opportunities, since he, you know, in his career, this is the fifth chance, and it could be, I think it will be, the third championship if Anthony Davis holds up his end of the bargain. And look, it's not the first time that a big man has come to this Lakers organization with question marks about experience and maybe even aggressiveness. I mean, Bergman, it wasn't that long ago, you know, whatever it was, 12 years ago, even 10 years ago in that finals that we just referenced, that we were questioning those same things about Pau Gasol, really.
Yeah, he was called Pau Gasoft by a lot of people here in L.A. after he got kind of bullied by Kendrick Perkins and the Celtics.
And Kevin Garnett, right, the first time around. Right.
Yeah, and, well, Kevin Garnett just absolutely obliterated him in that first time around. And then Pau showed up in the second time. But yeah, he was called Pau Gasoft. So this is kind of what people are seeing from Anthony Davis, is that you talk about it all the time, how he's soft in the fourth quarter and he only scores 8 points total.
Well, I've never actually used the word soft, Greg.
No, but you've alluded to it.
I mean, I have never said the word soft. I feel like soft is a demeaning term. So what would you call him soft?
Okay.
What I'm saying is he lacks aggressiveness. That's not soft. Is someone who wilts. I'm not saying he wilts. I'm just saying he's passive.
Okay, so he's passive. Fine, we'll use the word passive instead. But that's where he needs to show. He needs to prove it to guys like you and guys and a lot of fans that have seen that in the playoffs, maybe he's not as aggressive. And in the fourth quarter, he's not as aggressive. So if he can come out and really show what he can do in these playoffs, he's gonna turn himself around into people's minds.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's got every opportunity to show people that he can do it. Now, look, the only difference, I think, between the Kobe Powell comparison, for example, is that I don't believe the Lakers have as much time as Kobe and Powell did. You know what I'm saying? Like, to get it right. Like, Anthony Davis, because LeBron is 35 years old, there's a lot less room for error, is what I would say. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. No, it has to be this year. I mean, this is that best chance. So many things change next year with the Warriors coming back to full strength and Brooklyn looking like they're going to be back to
full
strength.
Clippers will be stronger, right?
Yep. The Clippers will be stronger. You're another year of Luka and Kristaps together. There's a lot of teams that are going to look really good next year. So the Lakers need it this year.
Laura, yes. what was that in my ear?
I said, when you said Clippers, like, whatever.
I mean, they are going to be better next year with another year of Kawhi and Paul George, aren't they?
I mean, if they find the rhythm, but
I mean, they've only played a full strength 11 games this season with their entire team. So it can't get worse than that, I would presume.
Look, I'm not saying I want someone to get injured because I will never wish that upon anybody. But if they don't play together, I'm okay with that. I'm just saying, eh.
Wow. Wow. Okay, I we'll just move on from that because that feels way too ominous.
No.
And yeah, I don't even want to talk about that. Like, that just feels like not nice. I understand you guys dislike the Clippers, and I feel like you guys want to shun them at every opportunity. I get that. But you have to at least admit that they are a legitimate threat to your title hopes, not only this year, but next year for sure too.
I have. Greg has not. I
whoa,
said I was
whoa.
Shook.
I was just saying 3 seconds ago before you said that they're going to be better next year and that they're a good team.
I mean, those for the record, Greg actually did for once say that.
Okay.
And he doesn't have to take an L on this one.
All right, Greg, I retract my statement. But
thank
I
you.
Did say that I was shook, like, what, 2 days ago, a day ago, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is. You are so shook that you are like, your mental stability, your emotional stability is all over the spectrum at the moment right now. I feel like you're not alone is what I would guess. I would imagine there are plenty of Laker fans that feel that way. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. What do you make of the AD-Powell comparison? What do you make of the way LeBron is treating AD? What do you think you need to see more of from AD? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. So we'll get to that. Plus, speaking of youngsters struggling at times, Walker Buehler. We'll get into that and dive into what's happening there. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Jay Williams going to stop by in a little bit. We'll talk to him. He'll be Keyshawn's new partner beginning on August 17th. Max Kellerman will join us at 11. Book Shambi at 11:30 and LZ at 11:45. We will have a packed guest list today, but if you want to get in on the phones and talk about the Lakers, 877-710-ESPN is the number, 877-710-3776. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your home quote at Progressive today, and it is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Real quick, before we get to the calls and the Dodgers, and I was watching the movie Philadelphia last night. I was just kind of scrolling through the movie channels on my DirecTV. And it's such a sad movie. Have you seen that movie before, Greg?
Which one is it? I was reading an email. Sorry.
Should you be reading emails on the shit while you're doing
it? It was about Jay Williams. So it was who's our guest in the next segment.
Okay. Fine. Is he coming on?
He says he might be a little bit behind. So he might be a little late. That's
okay. Fine. Well, then you know what? Like, there's not a lot of wiggle room here. So either he comes on around the time he's expected or we will move on.
Okay.
So if he's not on by 10:40, we're out.
Correct.
So just let them
so
know.
So what was the movie?
Philadelphia. Have you seen the movie?
I have seen it. It's a very, very sad movie.
It is very sad.
Long time since I've seen it because it's rough.
Laura, have you seen the movie?
Yes, the emotional movie.
It is the first time I ever cried at a movie theater watching that movie. I'll never forget it. And the reason it is, and you've probably seen the movie by now. Maybe you haven't. I mean, it was in the 90s. It's Denzel Washington and Tom Hanks. And Tom Hanks is an attorney who is part of the LGBT community. And he has AIDS. And there, you know, it really was the first movie to tackle AIDS. And the reason it always hit home with me is one of my favorite high school teachers died of AIDS, right? So it just kind of always kind of resonated with me. But it's still sad. Like, I watched that thing last night, and, you know, it's been 20 years, 25 years since I've seen that movie. And it's still super sad every time you watch that. The last scene, once he, like, spoiler alert, if you didn't see it in the last 25 years, when he dies, you know, the funeral scene is just insane, like insanely sad when they're showing the old movies of him as a kid. It's just bad. So what was the first movie? Do you remember the first movie you cried at?
This is a tough one for me. I am not an emotional...
I hope it's embarrassing.
No.
Because Philadelphia
no.
makes sense. But
no,
I want it to be like embarrassing. I'm hopeful here.
No, it's like Dazed and Confused. No, I am not an emotional movie watcher.
Really?
I do not
I think
cry.
You're just holding your emotions in, Greg. Let's get you on
maybe,
the leather couch.
Yeah, do you need me to lay down for a moment here?
What do you think, Laura? Should we put Greg on a leather couch?
Let's do it.
Yeah. I'm an emotional
Why are you not
robot.
Crying? Why are you not emotional, Greg? Why are you harboring all
I'm
your
not,
emotions?
I'm not denying this. I'm an emotional robot. When it comes to movies, I just can separate the two for whatever reason. I got Close and Up.
Oh, Up is really sad. Yeah. What a sad cartoon that is.
Yeah. So, like, the first 10, 15 minutes of that movie is
super
extremely sad.
Yeah.
And I got close, but I still, it's, I just don't cry in movies. I don't know what to say.
Greg.
You're just a robot, clearly. I'm emotionless. Laura, what about you?
I want to say my first, like, memory, I think it was Selena.
When oh, Selena's Selena. A, yeah, that's sad too, clearly, yes.
Crying my booty off.
Yeah, that's super sad, for sure. Not as sad, but still sad, is Walker Buehler's struggles. Again, no control, Greg Bergman. Why is he struggling with control? What's the deal with this slow start? Like, he was the Cy Young candidate. Like, I mean, he can still be, but we're almost 20% through the season already beginning tonight.
What a transition by you, by the way. Look at that. He started off the rejoin, whatever you want to, the summer camp a little bit late, and he was never supposed to go very long for the first couple starts. He was always supposed to have a backup. Dustin May was supposed to be the guy being attached to him, so he would go 4 or 5 innings, and then Dustin May would clean it up. But now, since Dustin May got pushed into the starting lineup, now he has to go normal, and he's just not ready yet. I'm not worried about him whatsoever. He starts off a little bit slow, and he'll be fine within the next couple weeks.
Okay, I hope so. Do you realize it is 20% of the season tonight, right?
Totally understand that. He will be just fine. Watch, he's gonna have, if it's not this next start, the fourth start, I guarantee you he's gonna have like a 0-run, 8-strikeout game.
Okay, I hope so. I hope you're right. I'm just saying, like, we had, you know, we were talking about Cy Young. I want to see Cy Young type stuff right now. All right,
you will. And look, what he gave up, he gave up 3 solo home runs.
I get it. But that's what we were doing with Kershaw last year too, remember?
Right. Like, if you're holding it to solo home runs, I think that's a little bit better than when guys are on bases and you're giving up, you know, 2-3 run jacks. That's a whole different world. So the fact that he gave up 3 hits and 3 of them were solo home runs, some of them just got a little bit away.
You're just saying it's bad luck is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's that BAPIP.
My buddy Mo Dakhil from Bleacher Report and The Athletic sent me a text. It's, Disney movies make me cry, especially The Lion King when Mufasa dies. Totally did the I'm not crying, just dusty in here. Mufasa dying is very sad.
God, there's always super, somebody's always dying. Huh? Someone always dies in these cartoons, these Disney cartoons. I love them. They're fantastic movies. But there's always like a parental figure dying.
Yeah. Disney knows how to tug your heartstrings. There is no question about it.
Toy Story 3 when they're
oh my god,
hands.
Yes. Yes. Toy Story 3.
My
yes.
Goodness.
I
yes.
wanted to say that one. That one got me, my brothers, when we went to see it. You see like the grown-ups and the little kids just sobbing in the theaters.
It is. It was very sad. It's making me sad just thinking about it. All right, let's go to Oscar. Oscar in Santa Ana. What's up, Oscar?
¿Cómo estás, Serrano?
Hola.
You know, it feels good to be in the playoffs, man, for 10 years. This is like forever, man. And now I can't wait to get the Clippers in the finals. And I'm so hype about that. And, you know, what do you think about the whole entire lineup now? Do you think they're just going to start doing all this experiment?
Yeah, absolutely. What, Oscar, and thank you for the call, brother. Stay healthy, stay safe. Once you've clinched, now you can kind of figure some stuff out. Now I want to see some J.R. Smith. I want to see some Dion Waiters. I want to see Quinn Cook out there. I want to see all sorts of crazy lineups. Like, let's get crazy, Vogel. Let's do it. Now keep LeBron and AD in there a little bit. You know, you treat it like an exhibition game. But that's my move right now. That's what I'm doing. What happened, Bergman?
No, I want to know what you think of Dion Waiters. You've been watching Dion Waiters for a long time, and you have been very iffy on him. But what he's done for this second team, I want you to say what you think about him right now.
I still don't trust him in a high-leverage situation. I mean, he's fine in these games, but I don't trust him in a high-leverage situation. I want to see him do it before I trust him.
He's your Kuzma, Greg.
No, Dion Waiters has been on 5 teams for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a knucklehead. Now, look, the reality is this, is that he's going to take shots you're not going to like. Now, granted, he is one step away from potentially being out of the league, right? So he's probably going to be on his best behavior. Maybe, you know, it works out. Just get what you can get out of him this season, because beyond this, I wouldn't trust him for long. But I still don't trust him in high leverage situations.
No, I mean, he is the only guy on the second team right now that can break down a defense and consistently get to the rim
Yeah, no, I get it. He has a skill set that makes sense. We've discussed that. Jason in Irvine. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Sedano. Happy Tuesday.
Hey, buddy. Happy Tuesday to you.
So you can't use the word soft. Soft will light a fire under a basketball player's behind.
And right. That's why I said to Greg that it's not the – well, I never used the word, but that's why I said to Greg that's not just an – it's not an accurate portrayal of what I said either.
And listen, I'm originally from Cleveland. I'm a diehard Cavs fan and huge LeBron fan. You guys haven't seen LeBron in the playoffs yet. What he does to players that are around, whatever we've seen AD right now, it's going to be amplified in the playoffs. The Lakers are going to win.
Yeah, no, I agree. As long as Anthony Davis, thanks for the call, Jason, and stay healthy and stay safe. As long as Anthony Davis holds his end of the bargain, like I'm, like Jason said, like I know what LeBron's about in the playoffs. Like I am not, I have zero worries about LeBron James performing once the playoffs hit. Like zero, less than zero, if that's the case. But yeah, I have no problems with it. What it is, again, I just want to see Anthony Davis pushed to a point where I feel comfortable that he is not going to become passive, right, in those fourth quarters in the games that matter, and particularly against the Clippers, because none of this matters until they beat the Clippers. Is it fair to say, Greg, that none of this matters until they beat the Clippers? None of the other stuff matters. Like, you're supposed to beat whoever the hell the eighth seed is going to be. You're supposed to beat whoever, to be honest, whether it's Oklahoma City or Utah or whatever, whoever's going to be the 4 or 5 seed. Like that, those first two rounds should be fairly easy for the Lakers. Unless they have to face Houston, then that will be a little bit more of a challenge, clearly. But
yeah, if you...
Go ahead.
All right. I was just saying, if they don't make it into the finals and they don't win the finals, a lot of people are going to blame Anthony Davis for this.
Well, no, I think that, who did we have on yesterday? Who do we have on yesterday to talk about this? Oh, Mike Greenberg. He made a great point, is that people generally blame LeBron on this stuff. But again, you kind of know what you're getting from LeBron. And I think that he's such a polarizing character, you're going to have some people blame him. But I think if I had to bet, you're right. You're going to be right, Greg. Like, people that know basketball, it's because Anthony Davis will probably have come up short in that situation, is my guess. If I were ranking something. All right, particularly against the Clippers. The other thing, I guess, would be the supporting cast, right? Like, you're going to need, we talked about this last week, you're going to need contributions from those particular guys. And it may not need to be Kuzma every night or Deion. It could be some different person every single night. As long as you're getting, you know, your 55 to 60 points from Anthony Davis and LeBron, you're going to be fine. And LeBron is also going to create easily another, I don't know, 20 to 30 points just on assists alone. So LeBron by himself will create 60 points. You get another 30 from Anthony Davis, you got 90. All you really need is like 25 points from the rest of the group in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, you were going back to your comparison to Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol got a lot of blame for losing
in 2008.
Celtics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So if the Lakers don't win, Anthony Davis will get that same burden.
Roderick in San Diego. What's up, Roderick?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
All good. You?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to weigh in on the whole movie topic. First off, Lion King was my first movie I ever saw in a movie theater. That definitely had me crying. But as of recent, I want to say the scene where Easy was in his dying bed and Dr. Dre was talking to him and Straight out of Compton, that kind of struck home a little bit.
Okay. You know, I didn't really think of that one as an emotional one that, but I could understand why you would think that would be emotional. Sure, that couldn't be an easy decision or an easy conversation to have. And thank you for the call, Roderick. Stay healthy, stay safe. All right, coming up next, maybe Jay Williams. If not, we will continue taking your calls and thoughts on the Lakers and Anthony Davis and what you need to see more of and how happy you are to finally have the stench of the last 6 or 7 years off of you, at least for now, right? Obviously, the goal is much bigger than this, but it is a great first step and a great day for the Lakers at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We'll get into that and how the Pac-12 Players Union may be inspiring to others. We'll get to that in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Sedano Show continues here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Penzoil Performance Line, like Jay Williams, one of the hosts of NBA Countdown, and the new morning man, as I like to call him. My pal Jay Williams joining us now here. Keyshawn, Jay, and Zubin begins August 17th on this station every morning here in L.A. Jay, before we get to basketball, the Pac-12, and all the sports stuff I want to ask you, first of all, congratulations. I know I congratulated you on TV the other day, but I want to congratulate you to your new audience here in L.A., in front of your new audience here in L.A. We're very much looking forward to you and Keyshawn and Zubin, buddy.
Well, GS, I really appreciate you, man. I had a blast with you on air the other night. It was, I feel like we were all talking basketball insiders. And I also got to tell you, you know, talking to Key over the last couple of days, I can guarantee you this. We got to have a hell of a lot of arguments on national radio and TV every day, because Keyshawn be saying some wild stuff. And I look forward to reeling him back in, if you know what I'm talking about.
Huh, as someone who worked with him for 2 years, I'm kind of surprised you're saying that. I'm not surprised at all, actually, that you're saying that. So anyway.
Yeah, he's the best, man, so we'll have some fun.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we just asked this question. What is the first movie that Jay Williams cried when he watched? Do you remember the first movie you saw that you were that you literally were crying watching the movie? It could be any genre of film.
Wow, you're gonna bring me down to an emotional, vulnerable state. My first
Let's go.
Time on the radio.
Give it to me, Jay Williams. Let people know what the real Jay Williams is like.
Don't judge me. Do not judge me. It was a scene from Titanic, man. It was a scene from Titanic.
I love it. But that is sad. It was sad.
It's so bad. I don't know why. I was watching it with my girlfriend at the time. I forget, I was like 14, 15 years old. She started crying. And I was like, do I cry here? I'm not sure I'm as emotional as she is, but I wanted her to think I was emotional. I felt that was going to help me with our relationship. So I tried to foster up some tears, and I started crying. And I think that was the time I started to realize that, oh, okay, I'm finding my masculinity. It's okay for me to cry as a grown man, even though I was 14 years old. So there you go.
It is. There you go, Jay. See, that's the vulnerability
damn
we want to hear.
Damn you.
Yeah, but listen. Don't cry in front of Keyshawn, okay? That's all I'm saying, because he will chew you up and spit you out. But anyway. All right, let's talk basketball here. We were just talking about the Lakers clinched the one seed for the first time in a decade. Look, it's been a rough go for the last 6 or 7 years for the Lakers. What have you made of kind of the way that this season has gone for them, and what has surprised you about the way this season has gone for them?
Well, I think initially just how well that Bron and AD have morphed together. Now, I know people can say, well, two of the top five players in the NBA, of course they should morph well together. But it's, you know, their roles are perfectly aligned and built for each other. So I know we used to call LeBron and D-Wade peanut butter and jelly, but I feel like this is a new version. This is the 2.0 of peanut butter and jelly. Just the way they work. And, you know, I watching LeBron over the last couple of nights, I know he hasn't had his best offensive performances, George, but it also feels like, let me get everybody involved. Okay, AD, like, go give me 40-plus against Utah. Go put in that work against Rudy Gobert. Like, you are special. I need you to be that AD all the time. So I think the way that they have gelled has been incredible. I do think that one of the bigger losses for this team until he's able to come back, and then what will his rhythm be like when he comes back, is Rajon Rondo. Just because he's averaged, you know, 5.5 assists per game, and he's another facilitator. And I think having LeBron James not feel the need to have to create all the time, which he has the ability to do, but you need somebody else to help with that. And I'm not sure that Deion Waiters, J.R. Smith, Kyle Kuzma, KCP, all these guys make other people better. They've been good. They're good at slashing and attacking. And I know that KCP has done well in this, and say with Deion, but I don't know if they're facilitators for other people. So I think getting Rondo back will be interesting. But George, I'll tell you this. If Portland is able to get to that eighth seed, which the race for the eighth is something different here that we're watching, but they are. The one thing I saw the other night that kind of concerns me, and I know you watch it, Kyle Lowry gave the Lakers the business. He gave them the business. Mm-hmm. And if you're telling me that the one thing that the Lakers are lacking, and I know we're not in playoff time yet, but is Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo, like those wing defenders that can stop guys like Kyle Lowry, you're going to need those guys to step up, Danny Green, Deion, all of these guys, JR, when you go against the likes of CJ and Dame, because those dudes are coming. I know they lost to the Celtics the other day, but they are coming, and they are coming on a mission. And that could be a fascinating opening round series to watch.
Jay Williams with us here. Again, Keyshawn, Jay, and Zubin begins August 17th, every weekday morning here on this station. We're all looking forward to it. With Anthony Davis, and you kind of alluded to it a little bit there, about maybe at times his lack of aggressiveness. I would even add lack of experience on this particular stage that he's about to embark upon. What is your level of concern when it comes to that? Because we've seen in the fourth quarters against the Clippers, he's only totaled 8 points in four games in about 27 or 28 minutes of play, and that has concerned some. What is your level of concern with AD on the big stage?
I don't really worry about it. I mean, AD really hasn't been to the big stage a lot. I'm sure there's some jitters, but at the same time, and this big stage is a little bit different. You know, this big stage will be virtual fans. This big stage will still have more of a feeling of a next level pickup game, which I think AD will be just fine. I think the more AD is aggressive. Now, the Clippers are an interesting matchup because of the way they try to play against him. And I still think that AD likes to spend time floating on the perimeter. And I like seeing him when his back is also to the basket, because his versatility, I think, helps tremendously. And it gives the Lakers a different look. But ultimately, I don't worry about AD or LeBron. I worry about J.R. Smith. I worry about Deion Waiters. I worry about Danny Green. I worry about all these guys being able to really step up. Even though Danny Green has been able to do it, he did it with the Raptors. And but having this amount of time off doors, like, that's a question for all these guys as they're trying to get their legs up underneath them pretty quickly after a four-month layoff.
One more thing for you, Jay, before we let you go. And again, congrats, brother, on the new gig. So the Pac-12 has formed these players' union. They have a number of different things on their list of demands, from safety protocols, which should be no-brainers, right? Other benefits that include compensation, social justice. Again, social justice, a no-brainer. I think there's some stuff in there that's middle ground stuff that could be worked on, like insurance beyond their playing days as athletes. I think all these things are worthy causes, but of all those things, what is the issue that you think will be the biggest sticking point in this Pac-12 union and their negotiations with the conference?
You know, what I want it to be probably won't be that. I mean, I would want it to be the rev share, and I know 50-50 rev share is an absurd number for people, but I think it's a starting point within the negotiation. I think that's a game changer for semi-pro athletes, and that's what I call collegiate athletes being asked to play in these type of conditions. That's what I call them right now. But I'm not sure that they'll be able to get that in this short time frame and that they're being asked, considering that a lot of these guys are starting in 2 weeks from now. I'll probably, the healthcare side of it will probably be one of the most important, and making sure that if players choose to opt out, that they will not lose their scholarship. It just, if we're having these type of challenges, George, with NFL players opting out because they're not sure that the environments are safe or the proper protocols are in place, we're watching a lot of universities, a lot of conferences assemble the plane after they've already jumped off the cliff. And if we're watching leagues, professional leagues, go through this, and these guys have the option of getting paid millions of dollars, and now we're translating that over to quote-unquote amateurs, kids who are young adults who are 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. I feel like we have an obligation to make sure that we get it right. And that's for everybody. But in particular, with young athletes who are being asked to sign liability forms where these schools aren't going to be held accountable in case these kids get sick, even though they're getting sick on their watch, where they've been accountable for everything else. So seeing that in real time and hearing guys, like Coach Gundy from Oklahoma State saying that, these schools wouldn't be able to live you know, wouldn't be able to survive without the revenue that these athletes create. I mean, he openly said it. These athletes recognize their power, they recognize their worth, and they should get something in return for that. And there's no other time to hold conferences' feet to the fire than right now when everything is up in the air and it's chaotic.
Jay Williams, the new show begins August 17th. Keyshawn, Jay, and Zubin right here each and every weekday morning on 710 ESPN here in Los Angeles. Jay, you are the best brother. Congrats again. Look forward to the new show and talking more frequently, hopefully. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
GS, thank you so much, man. Talk soon.
All right, brother, take care. There he is, Jay Williams with us here. Hey, so Max Kellerman, who has a new show on this station, beginning August 17th at 11 a.m. each and every weekday, will join us at 11 a.m. today. So we got another segment to go. I want to get people's thoughts on what Jay had to say at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Plus, I also want to touch on the NFL. We were just talking about college. And I'd love to get people's thoughts on the Pac-12 and what the kids are doing there and trying to accomplish there. But the NFL is contemplating a bubble, but there's one particular person that thinks it may not work, and I'll explain why in a second. Sedano Show continues here on 710 ESPN. Max Kellerman is going to join us in 15 minutes, so we will take this segment for a while before we get to Max, and we got what you need to know and all that stuff coming up. I want to talk to Max about a couple of things. I want to talk to Max about the NBA, the Lakers, clearly, and the NBA, baseball, the Pac-12 thing, if I can, but I actually want to ask him a boxing question. I have a specific boxing question because Michael Thompson's right, Greg. You know nothing about boxing, so it'll be nice to actually talk to someone who actually knows boxing.
Oh, I know zero about boxing. I'm not even trying to deny any of that.
No, I know. I know you don't deny that. I'm just saying. But it'll be nice to talk to somebody who's an authority on boxing.
Right. If you're going to talk to somebody, more so than Michael Thompson, it's Max Kellerman.
Yeah, Max is the authority. It's
yes.
Perfect. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So anyway. I'm very excited to talk to Max. I haven't seen Max in a while. I think the last time I saw Max was at a Laker game. God, was it last year, last season, or was it this season? I don't even remember anymore. So many times that's happened to me where I'm thinking about the basketball season and I'm like, did that happen this year? Was it this season? It happens to me all the time. So we know that Jay Williams cried. The first movie he cried at was Titanic. Now, Laura, you screamed knowing that that would be the movie. Why did you suspect that would be the movie?
Because I knew someone. I honestly thought that was going to be yours, George. And when he was like, don't judge me, I'm like, man, it's Titanic. I know it. And he said it. I was like, I knew it. Sorry. I hopefully didn't hurt your eardrum, but I knew it was. I knew it in my heart. I was like, yep, that's what it is.
So people are tweeting them in. They said, Marcus Brewster tweets us. He says, the death scene in Selena had me shed a tear. So he's with you, Laura, on Selena. Dan Peralta tweets us. He says, I've gone to funerals without shedding a tear, but Marley and Me definitely got me 3 crying emojis.
That one is sad, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marley and Me. I've never seen it because I don't want to cry.
Oh, no, you're going to cry. Anything with
my
dogs.
My wife saw it on a plane once years and years and years ago and bawled her eyes out. I saw someone watching it on a plane and was crying one time, and I'm like, nope, never going to see the movie. Never going to. I was actually at the game. They filmed the movie in Miami, and I was at a Marlins game that they filmed the scene where the dog runs on the baseball field there. I was at that game, and they – And I still won't watch the movie because I know I'm going to cry because I love dogs that much. So, yeah, not watching Marley and Me.
No, that's why any movie where the dog dies, I'm out. I'm out.
Well, isn't there a movie like that with Milo Ventimiglia, whatever his name is? Is it Milo or Milo?
One way or the other. I don't know.
Oh, him. That guy. He's in that movie with a dog, I think, dies too. But anyway, Starfish and Coffee tweets us. He says, a league of their own always hits me hard, but there's no crying in baseball.
There is no crying in baseball. So yes. Starfish and Coffee, you're wrong on that one.
He also says that ignoring the Clippers' threat does not make it go away, Greg.
No, I'm not ignoring it. I just don't. I'm not worried about it. I know it's there.
Okay. Just letting you know. Whoa, wait a second. Is that Michael Thompson's music? Michael Thompson going to join us right before Max Kellerman comes on. Hello, Michael Thompson.
Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth, man. I know as much about boxing as more than Max, because I'm older than Max, and I grew up in a greater era, boxing era, than Max. But before I get yelled at you about boxing and straighten you out about boxing, if you have a question about boxing, just ask me. The movie that made me kind of like choke up a little bit, I didn't cry and bawl like a little whip like you and Bergman and Jay Williams, but I did kind of choke a little bit of this movie called Lucas. You remember the movie called Lucas, L-U-C-A-S, about a kid in high school who sort of lived by himself. He was kind of a nerd, and he wanted to play football, and he lived by himself because he didn't have parents. It was a very sad movie.
Yeah, it was. I remember the movie. Corey Haim is the actor in the movie, isn't
right.
he? Yeah, the little kid.
That was sad. That was sad.
Yeah. It was sad. It was sad. Well, you know what other one was? But that movie, I mean, I guess it was like sad. It was kind of like a romantic kind of thing, though. He liked the girl, right? He wanted to get the girl.
Yeah, that's right. So you must have watched it. That was a little sad when they.
Yeah, Winona Ryder, I think, was the girl, wasn't she?
That's right. I believe it was.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. So what do I want to talk to you about boxing? What do you want to talk about? Why don't we talk about the Lakers?
You said you had a question for Max about boxing because you didn't know that much about it. So I said, why don't you just ask me?
No, I said that Greg didn't know that much about it. So I don't get a chance to actually talk boxing because Greg doesn't know anything about boxing.
Well, since you're going to talk boxing about Max, what you going to ask him that I can straighten you out on?
I want to ask him who he thinks the best under 25 boxer is right now, regardless of weight class.
That's a great question. That's a great question. We got some good young, talented boxers out there, young ones. Shakur Stevenson, Teofimo Lopez, Ryan Garcia looks like he's got a lot of potential. Javonte Davis, there's some really good ones. I'm going to go with my boy, Teo Lopez. Oh, man, that guy is tough. I love him. He's fighting Lomachenko this fall, we hope. And I like Teo Lopez. He's got personality. He can knock you out. And then, of course, there's this new guy coming up, Berlanga. Have you seen this Berlanga guy who's a super middleweight? Have you seen him?
I have not, Michael. I have not seen him.
Man, you got to check him out. I think his first name is Ed.
Now, do you think he could beat David Benavidez?
You know, I wouldn't put it past him. George, the guy's young, but he's got 14 knockouts in the first round straight. How do you do that?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's Mike Tyson-esque right there.
Mike Tyson, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Mike Tyson-esque. I mean, there's a lot of guys under 25 in boxing. It is kind of like a renaissance of boxing, I feel like, in a lot of ways.
But the problem with boxing is, and you can tell Max, I said, is boxing stinks because unlike the UFC, where the best fight the best, Dana White matches up. These guys in boxing don't fight each other. They're all good, and if they ever fought each other, boxing would be up there with football and basketball in popularity. But these idiots in boxing refuse to fight each other because they're all afraid of losing that zero on their record. Who cares if you're undefeated or not? Oscar De La Hoya lost 5 or 6 times. Muhammad Ali lost 5 times. Sugar Ray Robinson lost like 15 times, and they're still considered the greatest fighters ever.
Laura, cut that up, and we'll just play it for Max.
but
you're right, Michael. I do agree with you. But I do think that more recently we've seen it, right, with Tyson and Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder fighting, despite being from different promotional arms and whatnot.
Yeah, but something like that comes on once a year, George. When we could have about 8 or 9 great fights here. For example, Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence. Been talking for 3-4 years about fighting each other. All they do is talk instead of getting in the ring. Here's the thing about boxing I don't understand, George. If you are a fighter and if you can make $15 to $20 million fighting once, then why would you fight lesser fighters and make $1 million and have to take 10 fights to make $15 million? Economically, does that make any sense?
No. No, you're right. It doesn't make any sense at all, and I'm with you. By the way, Michael, Frank Alvarez just tweeted me, and he says, Sedano, you broke the Max Kellerman curse. It was all downhill when he got to L.A. All the teams stunk. You got here. King James and Anthony Davis got here. The playoffs again for the Lakers. The Dodgers went to 2 World Series. We got 2 football teams and another soccer team. Now Max comes back to bring his curse. Keep an eye on that dude. Hashtag Lakers Nation. What do you say to Frank there?
You're right, George. Yeah, Frank's right. Winning follows you wherever you go. Look at Miami. The Marlins won when you were a kid. The Miami Heat won championships. The Miami Dolphins were good for a while. So you're right. Winning follows wherever Sedano goes.
Yeah, I broke the Kellerman curse. I will ask him about the Kellerman curse. I will ask him and see what he thinks about that. But anyway, Michael. All right, real quick on the Lakers. What does it feel like to be the one seed, to have it clinched for the first time in a decade, Michael Thompson?
Doesn't feel like extraordinarily special when you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis leading the way, as Keyshawn Johnson used to say all the time when we were in the studio with him. They're supposed to do this. So are we supposed to, like, compliment them? It's like you, George. You're a father, and people compliment you for being a good father. You are supposed to be a good father, right?
Yes.
So when you have LeBron and Anthony Davis, you are supposed to be the number one seed. So the fact that they achieved that, to me, they did what they were supposed to do. Whoops-de-doo. Now let's go win that ring. That's what I would be impressed with.
I know. Listen, well, the first step is getting by, getting through the playoffs, and beating the Clippers in the conference finals where they'll likely meet.
Yeah, and it's going to be a nice little dogfight to get there, because you got to respect the other teams who are going to be in the playoffs. But you're right. Everybody healthy. Everybody else is playing for exercise. We know that the Clippers and the Lakers will be meeting in the West Finals. And it doesn't really matter who's the number one seed or three seed, because you don't have home court advantage in these playoffs. So it's kind of everybody's playing on a neutral court. So, I mean, home court advantage doesn't matter this year. It's all about seeding this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. It is about seeding. And by the way, Houston is starting to gel all of a sudden. I don't think that they're going to come out of the West, but you have to respect them. I think that you have to at least give them a, you know, we were talking boxing, right? You have to give them a puncher's chance.
Yeah, they're dangerous. I mean, we saw them play for the last 4 years against the Warriors and give the Warriors all the trouble they can muster. But yeah, you got to respect the team with Russell Westbrook and James Harden on it, because those guys can get hot at any time and make it a very tough series for you. So, no, they're not good enough to beat the Lakers or the Clippers, but they can make it tough for them.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. Hey, Michael, we love you, buddy. Stay healthy, stay safe. Keep Purelling. I know you've been doing it for 30 years, but you keep doing the great work with you and Ireland. Keep Ireland in line on the broadcast. Keep Sliwa in line on the broadcast. You make sure that you stay in control, okay?
And thanks, man. Give Max a message for me. Tell Max anything he needs to know about boxing, tell him to give me a call.
Okay, I will absolutely tell him that. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
See ya. There he is, the great Michael Thompson with us here. I think we're going to have some fun with Max, because we have a lot of messages to relay to him when it comes to Michael. All right, Max Kellerman will join us in 3 minutes.